Welcome to the June 11th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So Bitcoin declined this morning. It was trading about at $8,000 around 5 a.m. Eastern Time, and then around 6 a.m. Eastern Time, Bitcoin went down all the way to $7,800. After that, near 8 a.m., it went down as low as $7,750, and now Bitcoin has bounced back a little bit to just over $7,800 as I speak. It's almost 9 a.m. Eastern Time as I record this. And the Bitstamp order book depth chart shows there is more buying pressure than selling pressure at this moment by a good amount. So that would indicate Bitcoin would go up. And I think that's a side effect of the fact that Bitcoin dropped hundreds of dollars only an hour or two ago. So that has decreased the selling pressure. But we really got to zoom out on the charts in order to get a good idea of what's exactly going on with Bitcoin. So over the past week, Bitcoin has been quite volatile. And about a week ago, Bitcoin was trading near $8,000, then it dropped to $7,500. Then it came back up to $8,100, and then it dropped down to $7,500 again. And then it rose back up to about $8,000, and now it's back down to $7,800. So we're trading within this range between $8,100 and $7,500 over the past week. But we got to zoom out even more to really understand what is going on here. Well, if you zoom out to the one-month chart, which is like the 30-day chart, that starts to really paint a picture of what's actually happening. So we see that CME Bitcoin futures expiration that happened at the end of May. And since then, if you draw a line through all the volatility and all the movements, you see that Bitcoin has been, on average, going down at a steady clip since the CME Bitcoin futures expiration. So Bitcoin was on like a really nice uptrend in February, March, April, and May. It was pretty much a bull run. And then right when that CME Bitcoin futures expiration happened at the end of May, Bitcoin began to decline pretty much. Bitcoin went as high as $9,000 at its 2019 high. And now Bitcoin is $1,200 below that. This month it's been as much as $1,500 below that 2019 high. So the CME Bitcoin futures expiration has once again proved to be a pivot point for the market. And this suggests to me that this entire month of June, we're 11 days into June now, it's possible that the rest of the month could see a continued down movement on average. It seems like there's plenty of volatility though, like big volatility. But maybe drawing a line through all the volatility, my guess, and it's just speculation, would be that Bitcoin might keep going down during the month of June until the next expiration on CME. So what's the support levels for Bitcoin? It seems like we have support around $7,000 or so. Like that's a really critical longer-term support level to watch. And that's where Bitcoin might go down to if we see another crash on the markets. And then beyond that, zooming out to the three-month chart, there is really no support beyond like $7,000. Like the next support level maybe would be like around $5,000, a little higher than that. So $7,000 is a really critical level to watch. It would be obviously bearish even if we went to 7,000, but if we broke below 7,000, there's pretty much not much support below that looking at the longer term charts here. So yeah, watch that $7,000 support level closely. As for resistance, it seems we clearly have resistance around $8,000 to $8,100. And then we also have that longer term resistance at the 2019 high of $9,000. The crypto market is generally in the red this morning, and the total crypto market cap has declined from $255 billion to $250 billion. That's still 150% above the bear market low of $100 billion in December. So we've seen, even with the losses over the past couple weeks, significant gains since the bear market low. But since the 2019 high, we hit $287 billion for the total crypto market cap at the 2019 high. And currently, we are roughly $37 billion below that. So there has been a bit of a dent in this bull run. And indeed, it's not a bull run right now at all. And like I said on the shows before the CME Bitcoin futures expiration, I was waiting for the expiration to declare whether the bear market was over or not. Like if Bitcoin would have kept going up through the expiration and past it to now, I would say the bear market was over, but it's not over. So because when the CME expiration happened, the bears returned pretty much and Bitcoin and the crypto market went down. So I would still say we're in a bear market. Things are a lot better off than they were in December. A lot better off, but I don't think the bear market is quite over yet, technically. Anyways, moving on to the rest of the market analysis. Like I said, most cryptos are in the red this morning. Ethereum is down 0.7% near $242. Ripple's down 2.1% near 39 cents. And then we have Litecoin, though. So I said most cryptos are in the red. Litecoin is breaking that trend by a lot. Litecoin is up 2.7%, but it's really rallied over the past week. It's near $127 now. So Litecoin is going the opposite of the rest of the market because the Litecoin block halving is coming in less than 2 months. I think it's about 55 days from now. And what is the block halving? Well, basically, the Litecoin block reward for mining will be cut from 25 Litecoins to 12.5 Litecoins. And that will cause the market supply of Litecoin to fall drastically because the people that mine Litecoin constantly sell Litecoin on the market. So every time they get a block, they pretty much sell it as fast as they can in order to pay their electricity costs, to buy new rigs, and also to put food on the table. It's their business. So whenever we see a block halving, whether it's Bitcoin or Litecoin, it tends to cause a big rally. And right now we're just seeing speculation regarding the block halving, and it's enough to make Litecoin go up despite the rest of the market going down. In the past several months, Litecoin has often been a bellwether for the rest of the market. It's been kind of like a precursor and an indicator of what the market's going to do sometimes. So it is a bullish sign that Litecoin is going up, and it's helping to keep the rest of the market higher than it probably would be if Litecoin wasn't rallying. So yeah, it'll be important to watch Litecoin to see if this speculative block halving rally continues. Moving on with the market analysis, Bitcoin Cash is down 2.5% near $384. EOS is down 2.1% near $6.27. Binance Coin is up 0.1% near $31.50. Bitcoin SV is down 3.2% near $184. Stellar is down 2.3%. Cardano is down 0.2%. Tron is down 2.7%. Monero is down 0.5% near $86. Dash is down 1.3% near $145. IOTA is down 3.5% near 41.5 cents. Cosmos is down 2.9%. Ethereum Classic is down 2.3%. NEO is down 3.3%. Tezos is down 3.8%. And Zcash is down 2.8%. And finally, Dogecoin is down 1.8%. So generally, kind of a mildly bearish day across the board on the crypto market. Besides Litecoin, Litecoin continues to gain despite pretty much the rest of the market going down. Before I end the market analysis, I'll mention the stock market. So the stock market has been doing quite well over the past week or two. And right now the Dow Jones Industrial Average is near 26,000 points again, after being lower than 25,000 points near the end of May. So the Dow Jones has gained over 1,000 points, maybe like 1,200 points. And the futures this morning are showing the Dow Jones will gain another 100 points, even more when the stocks open today. So yeah, the stocks have gone from being kind of bearish towards the latter half of May to being kind of bullish in the first half of June. And maybe that's another factor suppressing the crypto market, because we're seeing a nice inverse correlation between stocks and crypto, where basically if the stocks go down, crypto goes up. And that might be because investors that typically trade stocks see crypto as an opportunity to make money when stocks are going down and bond rates are going towards zero. Bitcoin's one of the only profitable assets left. Well, in this case, it's the opposite. Stocks are going up, so people that normally trade stocks just keep on trading stocks. So yeah, that's another kind of bearish factor for the crypto market, besides that CME Bitcoin futures expiration, which has kind of precipitated this bearish downturn we've seen during June so far. Moving on to the first interesting story of the day. The Russian parliament, which is called the Duma, is apparently about to pass legislation that will ban cryptocurrency mining as well as cryptocurrency exchanging. And apparently this legislation's been coming for months now. President Putin of Russia set the deadline back in February for, I guess, this month to pass this crypto legislation. And they do think this law will be passed in June this month. So that's pretty bad for the crypto space in Russia. But simultaneously, apparently it's okay to hold Bitcoin or cryptocurrency in Russia. It's just not okay to mine it or buy it or sell it. You could just hold it. So that reminds me a lot of China. Like, China does have a lot of Bitcoin mining, but they did ban, like, crypto exchanges pretty much. Even though there's a lot of crypto exchanges, like, some of the biggest ones in the world are on the fringes of China. They did technically ban cryptocurrency exchanges in China. And there's been lots of talk of China maybe banning cryptocurrency mining, but that really hasn't happened as far as I can see. But yeah, Russia's kind of like going even harsher than China, and they're going to ban Bitcoin mining. And people don't go to jail if they get caught mining Bitcoin. They just get a big fine that probably erases all their profits and then some. So yeah, no more mining in Russia and no more cryptocurrency exchanging in Russia, like not even local Bitcoins or anything, once this law passes. So I'll definitely update on this when it actually passes. It's not passed yet. And it's very interesting that people can hold Bitcoin as if it's property, but they can't buy it or sell it. So that's kind of strange, but... So yeah, Bitcoin's not going to be totally illegal in Russia. There's another story coming out of Russia that's kind of associated with this, I would guess. And it makes it much more interesting. There's this island called Bolshoi-Ursiyski Island. And it's kind of like a river island. It's between a couple of rivers on the border of China and Russia. It's not in the ocean. It's between a couple of rivers. But it's right there on the border of China. And apparently, some people in the Russian government are proposing to create like a cryptocurrency financial safe haven, like a free trading zone for cryptocurrency on this island, quote-unquote, that's right on the border of China. Specifically, the Agency of the Far East for Investments and Exports, the IPA, is who's proposing this cryptocurrency free trading zone on the border of China between Russia and China. So we just talked about how Bitcoin exchanging and mining is going to be illegal in Russia, and it's already illegal to exchange Bitcoins in China, essentially, and mining might be illegal there too, to some extent, and it's kind of like obscure, but we're not going into that right now. But anyway, so Bitcoin is kind of restricted in China and Russia. It's restricted a lot there. And then we're going to have this free trading zone right on the border of China and Russia where cryptocurrency is like a free-for-all, kind of like the United States where people can trade it and set up like a big cryptocurrency exchange that could service China and Russia. So basically, this is like a physical loophole to the crypto laws in China and Russia. Like, we're literally going to have a place where you can set up a huge cryptocurrency exchange and do whatever you want with crypto right next to China and right next to Russia. And if this does happen, I don't think anything's firm and official yet, nothing's set in stone, but if this does happen, I think this is going to be like a major hotspot in the world for cryptocurrency activity. Like, a lot of people that want to use cryptocurrency in China and a lot of people that want to use it in Russia, they'll have to go to this exact place, this one little island between a couple of rivers on the border, in order to trade the cryptocurrency. So this could be like a real financial hotspot for the cryptocurrency world in the future. Apparently, this idea was taken from the Philippines. They have the Cagayan Special Economic Zone, which is meant to be a hub for cryptocurrency innovation. So that's already happening in the Philippines. And it's kind of like another area like this one that's being proposed where cryptocurrency trading is like a free-for-all. People can set up huge crypto exchanges. And it's right next to China also. So we're seeing this trend here where we're having some like free trade zones for cryptocurrency on the borders of China because there is a tremendous demand for cryptocurrency trading in China. In fact, most of the cryptocurrency and Bitcoin trading volume in the world was in China before they banned it in late 2017. And now we're seeing these exclusion zones pop up where basically cryptocurrency is a free-for-all. So imagine all the demand in China going to these couple of spots, and one in the Philippines and one on the border of Russia. All that demand is going into those two areas where it's free-for-all for cryptocurrency trading. So it's a very interesting loophole, and it's definitely something to know about. Moving on to the next story. Apparently, Google did a regular update. Like, they do this thing called a core update. I never heard about it till today, but yeah, Google updates their search engine every month, it seems like. They call it their core update. So they had their June 2019 core update on June 3rd, and the biggest crypto news site, at least one of the biggest, called CCN, Crypto Coin News. And I think it really was beating out all the other crypto news sites in terms of traffic and stuff. Like, it lost 71% of its traffic overnight when Google did this update. And they lost 90% of their revenue. Apparently, a lot of it came from Google AdSense. And also the fact there was a ton of traffic coming from Google. So CCN, instead of firing off most of their team, they got rid of the whole site. So CCN, CryptoCoinNews.com, is shutting down completely, and that's very surprising. It kind of came out of the blue. And apparently CCN's not the only one affected. Like, CoinDesk lost 34.6% of their traffic, and Cointelegraph lost 21.1% of their traffic. So when Google did this update, like, the crypto sites in particular got hit hard, apparently, at least these major crypto sites, they got really hit hard by that. And it's not only crypto sites, apparently. Like, dailymail.co.uk, which is like a popular news site, they lost 50% of their traffic, pretty much. And then there's a whole litany of other sites. Even the NFL lost 24% of their traffic. So I don't know exactly what happens with these Google core updates, and CCN doesn't know either. They're absolutely baffled and shocked, and it came overnight. Like, literally, they had a big team, apparently, and they couldn't pay the whole team anymore, not even most of the team, so they just pretty much got rid of the whole site. From a broad philosophical perspective, this is showing the failure of centralization. So that's the whole point of cryptocurrency in the first place, was to be decentralized money with no central point of failure. But there's a lot of central point of failures involved in cryptocurrency because of the world we live in. One of those central points of failures is banks. So a lot of crypto companies have met their demise because of banks shutting off their accounts and stuff. And then here we're seeing even crypto journalism. Apparently a lot of crypto journalism sites, and the biggest one, which was like CCN, was depending on Google. And then Google simply just changed their protocol, they changed their search engine, and it destroyed CCN. So this is just a reminder, even though it's hard and it's not simply said, like I could say it with words right now, don't depend on any central sort of thing, because any sort of centralized thing like Google or a bank could fail. You gotta be decentralized. It's easy to say that, but it's easier said than done. But yeah, when using cryptocurrency, or even talking about cryptocurrency, or doing journalism about cryptocurrency, it's very important to keep your business decentralized enough that no company could kill it. So in this case, Google like killed CCN and really hurt maybe like CoinDesk and Cointelegraph and who knows how many other crypto-related sites. But simply, and once again, easier said than done, crypto news sites have to find a way to like monetize themselves where they're not dependent on Google or any centralized company or authority. Essentially, decentralization is the only way for cryptocurrency to survive, and even anything involving cryptocurrency, like crypto journalism. Even crypto journalism has to be decentralized or could get killed overnight, like CCN. Moving on to the next story. Bittrex is apparently delisting 32 cryptocurrencies in the United States. So we've been seeing this a lot from various cryptocurrency exchanges. The most recent one was Poloniex, which delisted 9 cryptocurrencies. And Poloniex and Bittrex have multiple times in the past, with increasing intensity up till now, been delisting coins. What's going on here is that a lot of cryptocurrencies, especially ones that launch with initial coin offerings, ICOs, are considered securities by the Securities and Exchange Commission of the United States. So it actually makes it illegal to trade a cryptocurrency that can be defined as a security. So Bittrex can't even offer cryptos that could be defined as securities. So they took away 32 of them in the United States. Apparently, these cryptocurrencies are still going to be listed on Bittrex International, basically outside of the United States. But here's the cryptos that have been delisted. ADT, AMP, Bay, BCPT, Block, Box, CMCT, DNT, DTA, ENG, FCT, which is Factum, FLDC, Go, GTO, Hydro, IHT, Ion, LBA, MFT, MOBI, NLC2, NMR, PRO, PTOY, QRL, Quantum Resistant Ledger, QTUM, Quantum, RFR, Store J, Storm, SWT, XEL, XNK. So that's a whole bunch of cryptocurrencies being delisted at once from Bittrex. And essentially across the world, it's becoming harder and harder to trade some of the smaller cryptocurrencies. And some of the ones I listed, like especially the ones I named, are very popular but smaller cryptocurrencies, and it's getting harder across the world to trade such cryptocurrencies. One of the best safe havens is Binance, but even Binance is not totally free from the SEC's regulation. Like, Binance recently announced they're not going to have margin trading for United States customers, and also the Binance DEX, which would have had like every coin in the world, it's not going to be available in the United States as of July 1st. But generally on Binance, for their spot exchange, they don't really delist things for United States customers. But simultaneously, they don't list everything either. So we're seeing it become harder across the world to trade some of the cryptocurrencies that are defined as securities, and that's not a good thing for the crypto space. It's putting a major hamper on the crypto space. And we're going to have to watch how this evolves. The most recent action the SEC took was they have sued the Kick ICO for the KIN token, which was a $100 million ICO. And that's going through the courts right now. It's a major legal battle that's kind of going to reaffirm the SEC's missions and goals and the way they do things in the crypto space. Right now, it looks like basically the SEC will probably win, but I don't want to just say that without watching it happen first. But yeah, the SEC has been cracking down hard on ICOs and crypto exchanges. Before they get in trouble, they're delisting coins. Like Bittrex just delisted 32 coins to stay out of trouble with SEC so they could at least keep trading all the other coins that they still have. But that being said, most of the cryptocurrencies that exist right now that are major, even in the top like 100 or 200 on CoinMarketCap, most of them are ICO coins. Bitcoin and Ethereum in particular are the couple major cryptos that are not considered securities at all. And maybe like Monero and Dash, and maybe like 20 coins or so in total could be considered not securities and are major cryptos that are decentralized. But aside from that, there's like hundreds of popular cryptos that could be considered securities. So it's going to be important to watch as this unfolds in the future how many coins keep getting delisted from exchanges. Moving on to the next story. MakerDAO and DAI, the stablecoin, have been seeing continuous growth since it launched in about January 2018. So MakerDAO is one of the most popular decentralized autonomous organizations on Ethereum's network. And what it basically does is people put up Ethereum as collateral and they get a loan in DAI. So it's like a decentralized loan network. And then the people that are borrowing and putting their Ethereum as collateral, they pay a certain interest rate to get the DAI stablecoin as a loan. And then they pay back the DAI stablecoin as well as whatever interest rate they're paying. And then they get their Ethereum collateral back. So it's a decentralized way to borrow money. So that's kind of interesting and important. And they've been seeing continuous growth since January 2018. They have grown from having zero DAI in circulation, the stablecoin, and each DAI is worth a dollar. It's supposed to be. It kind of oscillates a lot, but it's oscillating about $1. It's a stablecoin. And it's gone up to about 80 million DAI in circulation now. That being said, it did go up to like almost $100 million of DAI in circulation, but it has gone down since about March or so. So it hasn't really been growing in the past couple months, but even during the time where the amount of DAI in circulation has been dropping, the amount of active addresses and holders of DAI has been going up pretty rapidly, even up to now. Well, the reason the amount of DAI in circulation has dropped is actually because they had to raise the interest rate a lot for the loans, because the price of DAI dropped well below a dollar. There was so much DAI stablecoin being issued that the supply was saturated and the price of DAI dropped below a dollar, so they increased the interest rates on MakerDAO but up to 10 to 20%. So that has caused a lot of people to cash in their DAI quickly so they don't lose all their collateral. And yeah, that's still an issue for MakerDAO. So this is kind of like some very positive news if you look at the long term for DAI and MakerDAO, but it is important to know the short term news in the past month or so, that even the past couple months, how they've raised the interest rates so much in order to keep DAI pegged at a dollar. Because basically, whenever they increase the interest rate, that lowers the amount of DAI in circulation, and that brings DAI's price back up to a dollar. So they've had to raise the interest rate a lot, like almost to 20% recently. I think they dropped it a few percent about a week ago, so they dropped it down to like 16%, I believe. But yeah, the interest rate is kind of way too high right now. And at first, the interest rate was like a few percent, and now it's jumped up to where it is now. So a lot of borrowers kind of feel tricked by that, but simultaneously it still works, and there's even more active holders of DAI than ever before. So the good news is that this decentralized collateral and borrowing project that is MakerDAO and DAI is working long-term, and there's more people using it than ever, despite the short-term problems of interest rates. So that's all I have for you today on this June 11th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join that Crypto.IQ trading desk. They have made over 400% profit since July. Even during the worst of the bear market, they're making lots of money. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time, and there's a full trade analysis of each trade. Just by reading their trade analysis, you could become an expert cryptocurrency trader. And it gets even better. You can ask the Crypto.IQ traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.